I wonder what it would be like if they mixed Dukes of Hazzard and Star Trek. You think we can pull this off?
What? Con our way on a starship, now you ask?
Excuse me. Only authorized personnel are allowed on the bridge.
Look here, pointy-ear guy. We have orders.
Yeah, the command of the ship has been assigned to us.
Us? It is only logical that there can only be one captain.
Well, that would be me.
No, that would be me.
No, me.
Oh, I said I'm the captain.
Welcome aboard, captain.
All right, first order business, let's get this ship moving.
Engine room.
Hey, Cooter, how's it going down there?
Well, boys, everything looks good in here so far. Wish I could shoehorn this engine into the general leap.
Think we can handle some warp drive?
From the looks of it, I reckon.
Good, thanks, man. Hey, you up there, what's your name?
Me, sir? My name is Sulu.
All right, Sulu, let's put this thing in gear and kick it like Jackie Chan.
Is that a direct order, sir?
Hey now, don't get smart with me. Let's get a move on.
Yes, sir.
And would you stop playing with those buttons?
Thank you for pressing the self-destruct button.
Oh, sorry.
This show is a proud member of Friends in Tech at friendsintech.com.
Welcome, new listener and veteran of wherever you are. You found Technorama, the show that takes a lighthearted look at all things tech, science, sci-fi, size-fi? Size 5?
Fi-sci.
I like a size 5. And all things geek in general. I am your host. No, wait, let's do that again. I am your maitre d' for this banquet. My name is Chuck Tomasi, and the head waiter tonight will be Craig Stepp.
Can I help you, sir?
Yeah, you get the table by the kitchen.
Would you like a nice cabernet?
A cabinet of what?
Come on, Bo.
This is show number 108 for May 11th, 2006. We've got a ton of stuff to talk about tonight. Coming up in tonight's show, we've got Where in the World Was Chuck? I'm not sure where I was.
Where in the world will be Chuck?
Where in the world am I now is a better question. We got a little bit of free press, and it wasn't written ourselves. Wish I had to do that yourself later.
Oh,
I'll tell you how. We can't show you much. No pictures or anything. And surprise of all surprises, Craig has another rant.
Ooh, yeah.
All that and more right after the usual on this day in tech history.
It's the quicker picker-upper.
On this day in tech history for May 11th, 2006. This is May 11th. It's the 131st day of the year in the Gregorian calendar. There are 234 days remaining in 2006. It was on this date in 1502 that Christopher Columbus leaves for his fourth and final voyage to the West Indies. The ironclad CSS Virginia scuttled in the James River, northwest of Norfolk, Virginia, on this day in 1862. And it was on this date in 1927 that the Academy of Motion Picture Arts and Sciences is founded. The first analog TV service is inaugurated by WGY in Schenectady, New York on this date in 1928. And on this date in 1960, the first contraceptive pill is made available on the market. It was on this date in 1984 that a transit of Earth from Mars takes place. Unfortunately, no one was there to observe it. On this date in 1987, the first heart-lung transplant takes place in Baltimore, Maryland. And IBM's Deep Blue chess-playing supercomputer defeats Garry Kasparov in the last game of the rematch, becoming the first computer to beat a world champion chess player. That was on this date in 1997. And it was just 8 years ago, in the Rajasthan desert, India conducts its first underground nuclear tests, violating the Nuclear Non-Proliferation Treaty and inflaming its rival neighbor Pakistan, who already has nuclear weapons. ZDTV, the official technology television network, begins broadcasting 8 years ago. It lasts 6 years before merging with G4 to become G4 Tech TV, a gaming channel. Happy birthday goes out on this date in 1881 to Theodor von Karmann, Hungarian physicist, and the English radio astronomer Antony Hewish was born on this date in 1924. Happy birthday to the Dutch computer scientist Edgar Dijkstra, born on this date in 1930. Thank you, Jorga and Leo, for helping me with that. And finally, happy birthday on this date in 1946 to Robert Jarvik, the American physicist and inventor behind the Jarvik artificial heart. And that's the way it was on this day in tech history for May 11th, 2006.
I know you love listening to Chuck and Craig and Technorama, but take a minute this Saturday night and listen to the Typical PC User 100th episode at www.typicalpcuser.com. Back to Chuck and Craig.
Victor needs to lay off the helium.
That's what I was thinking.
Victor, you're going to pass out if you...
Take a breath.
I'm really looking forward to it. Hello.
We have listener email, actually.
What's this? A letter from me?
We have a letter from Jorga, of all people, whom we just mentioned.
I mean, Jorga.
He said, okay, so I had this old laptop doing nothing. So I said, hey, it's still good and rather modern.
You're right.
Let me make a test server out of this and hide it somewhere out of sight. I did, and I managed to install SSHD on there for console access. Yay! And also enabled remote desktop. I can access it fine from Windows via SSH, which is, he calls his other machine Death Site, but not from the Mac, since it's a Windows machine, is there any way for the Mac to know all the PC... if the PC is on the LAN, other than by its NetBIOS name? I didn't have an easy answer, so I just said, I'll throw
IP
it
IP number.
I suppose you could do that.
Actually, that's how I use. I use VNC across my network by IP all the time. So, yes, IP number.
Are you doing DHCP, or are you hard coding all your machines?
That machine is a print server, so yes, it's hard-coded.
Okay. Yeah, if it's a server, I would recommend hard-coding it. Otherwise, it makes it really hard to find by IP number.
Well, you know what? I've got this Linksys router with the DDWRT device. Help me here, Chuck. Help me here. Firmware install on it, and it has its own DNS server, which also proxies all the DNS requests out to the internet.
Mm-hmm.
And I can put in MAC addresses and host names, and even assign them, of course, registered or reserved IPs, but the host names get in there too. So if I type in, you know, P server, which is my print server,
right,
it pings it. So it's a proxy DNS server also. So you may want to think about doing something like that.
Good point. We also have an email from Jeep and Dave with a top five list. He wrote us the top five ways you know you're addicted to Technorama. Number five, you get excited when RoboChuck 2000 retrieves your favorite item from the fridge.
Yay.
Let's see. I got a Guinness. That's pretty good.
Yeah.
Number four, you get excited when Craig's webcam is working.
Yay.
Number three, you play air drums when you hear the Technorama theme song. I've never heard that one before. Number two, you find yourself drunk from playing the drinking game with Technorama.
ASAP.
We need to publish official rules somewhere in the wiki.
Yeah.
And number one.
BDQ.
You find binary high fives everywhere.
Yay. Oh, it's like a commercial with when they went into Toontown. Binary high fives is walking into everybody's dead.
It just kind of blasts you. Yeah. Actually, we were at the ball game. I'll talk a little bit more about what we were doing the last few days. But we were at the ball game, and it was one ball, zero strikes, one out on the scoreboard. And I went, oh, there's a 1-0-1. And we were in the third inning, and the other team made a score in the first and third inning. So there was another 1-0-1 there. I took a picture.
1-0-1s everywhere.
Two 1-0-1s.
Oh, you did take a picture?
Oh, yeah. There were two of them on the scoreboard. Good boy.
You have 937 messages, all of which are marked urgent.
We have a rather unique voicemail. Craig, I'm going to let you answer this question.
Answer it? Okay. Okay. I see. All right. Well, it sounds like you're having a problem with your router, and I would take a look at that. Like I was just talking about the Linksys firmware upgrade, you may want to look at that. So I think that would help out with Chewbacca's problem there.
And double check the power inverter. Sometimes they go flaky on those older models.
That's right.
If all else fails, take it into Mos Eisley's. Check with Watto and see if he can get you some parts.
Hey, when all else fails, read the manual.
RTFM. And use the force as always. Shout out to the chat room.
Shout out. What's up?
Chuck's real tired, so things aren't coming out very coherently tonight.
Open the mouth and move the tongue. Vibrate air over them somehow.
Like that dude that was sitting next to Lando in the Millennium Falcon. That's how I feel tonight.
Oh, we'll make it out.
Shout out to Beaker11. Beaker11? He's supposed to be Beaker1. Evil Bob, K.O., Mark Shepard, Scott R., Tim Elliott, and Zaha Doom are all in there happily chatting away. Everybody wave and take a break. No, don't take a break. Where are we? We are on the news. Correct?
Yes.
Let's play some new news. And now it's time for the Technorama News with Chuck and Craig. You like that?
Yes, it is.
We upgraded from the typewriter. We got a little bit of free press. Steve Kabalowski from the local Post Crescent was in here on Sunday's show with Richard and Jimmy and me and Scott Reynolds, and it was jam-packed in here, having a good time. And he made a write-up on the Post Crescent blog, which is at postcrescent.blogspot.com. And there was actually a reply to that. They're thinking about doing their own podcast, so I put in some suggestions and comments on that follow-up article. They said, hey, does anybody really want to do... Would anybody be interested if the Post Crescent did a blog? And I said, yeah. Let me read you a little bit about this. I won't read you the whole article. It says, in your ear, tell the story. That's what podcasters do. They share thoughts and ideas with others through audio recordings on the internet. And there's a lovely picture of Richard and Jimmy and me.
Wait a minute. There's three of Chuck in that picture.
There's what?
There's three of you.
How do you figure that?
Look at the wall.
Oh, yeah. There's one behind the mic boom, and there's one.
Pictures of like Chuck in Napoleon Dynamite 17, phase, and then there's Chuck now sitting in the 17. Chair.
You don't need an iPod to listen, but you do need to be online and have a way to hear MP3 files. In the Fox Valley, there are a number of podcasts being produced, some by media outlets, but the majority are average people who do it as a hobby. I'm going to have to find these other people. I didn't know there were so many. Apparently, Steve knows something I don't. A meetup.
A pug.
A pug.
Podcast user group.
An Appleton podcaster using a pug.
A pug. Hey, I like how there's one detail absent in this.
What's that?
My name.
Oh, man. They got everybody who was in this room, but they didn't have the virtual co-host. See,
I was going to say, wouldn't that be the... the human interest part of this is that it brings together people all over the world. There's people all over the world in that room, and then I'm somewhere else talking also. Man.
You're going to have to post a comment.
Yeah. Me too.
Raise your hand. I'm on the other end of that connection.
Yeah.
We had a good time. That was a good time. Speaking of the show 107 with Richard and Jimmy, we noticed a couple of things in the show format that we're going to be working on the formula when we bring guests in. Some listener feedback that they would have liked to have heard from Jimmy and Richard more. And after the show, we kind of had a post-show wrap-up. And I noticed that, yeah, the formula does need a little bit of tweaking. So look forward to that when we do get more people in the studio. We'll...
Yeah, I'd like to talk to them a little bit more, too.
Yep, we're going to work on the show format. Right now, we've got things sort of formulaic in a box, and it really doesn't happen all that often, but we've got to tweak the formula a little bit. Actually, write a subroutine for when we drop in people.
Hey, we're not rocket scientists. They are. It's a Pac-Man ass tattoo.
You will see someone's posterior not disgustingly displayed.
I always think of Patty and Selma on The Simpsons.
Well, it's not a high-res butt, kids. You could end up like Craig. Why is that the example everybody uses?
I don't know. You can email Chuck at chuck@chuckchain.com. Send audio comments.
Have you been drinking tonight? Leave the podcasting to the professionals. So you want to know what I've been up to for the last couple of days and why I am so tired. Well, I'm going to tell you anyway because it had all to do with podcasting.
Okay, yeah, tell us then.
I was hosting Richard and Jimmy for the last couple of days in Appleton, and then yesterday I brought them back to Chicago. So Sunday night, we had our Technorama. Monday morning, we went up to the National Railroad Museum in Green Bay, Wisconsin. Beautiful place.
I didn't realize that was there.
Yes.
Hmm.
Wonderful place. They've got several of their showcase pieces in this huge interior, humidity-controlled, temperature-controlled building. One of them is the General Dwight D. Eisenhower, his official train. It started out in England, and then they brought it over here and made it the presidential thing when they were moving troops back and forth in the 40s.
And over the water?
No, the trains don't run over the water. The train was brought back over here. This thing is massive. I mean, it had like 80-inch drive wheels on it. Big.
Wow.
Big train. Beautiful thing. Nice, big, bright green, well painted up. And because we were on a special publicity tour, we got to go inside the cars that are usually locked up and you can only see things through the windows. And it was really neat being in there and seeing all this technology from the 40s. There's the bed that... the man who would become president slept in. Yeah, it was. It wasn't fancy by any stretch of the imagination. It looked like a cot, and it was very simple, very sparse. Air Force One could take a lesson from this thing, but it was the time of war, so I mean, obviously, he wanted to show he was one of the men. He was a 4-star general, but he slept like the rest of the guys. It was kind of neat being in there.
Hey, just a side note. North of Charlotte, do we have a Railroad Museum also, and they have some trains that they're refurbishing. And I got some video. This is a couple of Christmases ago that we went up there because they do the train ride for the kids with Santa Claus. He walks up onto the train and gives everybody candy and oranges and fruit. Anyway, I got some video of some of the trains that they're refurbishing, and it's kind of like that. You can walk through one. And it's funny how tight and everything is in the sleeper cars. It's pretty cool. It's just like you were talking about.
Maybe it's tiny.
Maybe I'll get some of that video together and make a little video cast or something.
If you want to see some of the pictures, you can go over to Vobes.com. Since it was his audio tour, and he is here actually doing data collection, if you will. We've been posting the pictures every day on his website. So go to Vobes.com, click on the USA trip, and I think it was day 5 or day 6, whatever Monday the 8th was. He's got the dates there as well.
He's got you on there on the 9th, 8th and 9th. Hey!
8th and 9th, yes.
There's a picture of you on his website. How about that?
Isn't that cool?
Yes, very nice.
I'm all over there. I was taking half the pictures, and Jimmy was taking the other half.
They converted you. You got a British flag on your on your shirt.
Yeah, I was wearing his. He gave me a Vobes T-shirt. I was wearing that Sunday night for our show.
Oh, did Richard do his podcast from your desk?
He literally came in, plugged into the desk, and hooked up his Marantz where my line in comes in, and hooked up his laptop for all the jingles and sweepers and things. The other neat thing that was at the Railroad Museum was they had the Big Boy. This thing is 165 feet long, massive train, weighing tons and tons and tons. Oh, we seem to have lost Craig again, but, that's the way Technorama goes. Let me reconnect him, and we'll get back to our train discussion. Gotta love Skype. It seems to be flaking out on us a lot lately. What is with Skype lately, Craig?
I have no idea.
It just kind of goes...
What, are we got a time limit or something?
I don't know. Yeah, please deposit another 25 cents. Skype's going to start charging for computer calls. Anyway, I was talking about
another 25 cents.
The Big Boy. That rail where they usually walk along? We were watching Back to the Future, and they're walking up to the front of the train, shinnying along the side of the boiler.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The rail for this thing is about 10 feet off the ground. You could literally walk under the steam pipes. This thing is huge. You could crawl into the firebox and probably, sleep about eight people. It's enormous. Mm. And this guy did an awesome job. Richard did great questions. Obviously, these won't be up and online on his site, his audio tours, in the next week, because he's still got another week of touring around the U.S. He's in St. Louis, and then he goes to Arkansas, then he goes to Dallas, and then San Antonio comes back to Chicago. So this train thing may not come out for a month, 2 months, 3 months at best, but he did a great job. In the afternoon, we took some downtime because he's been rush in Chicago and Appleton. But then in the evening, we went to the Timber Rattlers ball game, had a tailgate party, which was interesting because they'd never had a tailgate. They're going, we're in a car park and eating sausages. It was really funny. And we recapped a whole bunch of funny stories that had happened during the day. I now know how to properly make tea. Did not know that. I was a complete American ignoramus.
We'll have to talk over after the show because I've been wrestling with making sure I'm doing it right, but we'll see.
Okay, we can have a tea cast or something. Yeah, there might be one out there already.
Hello, Chuck.
Hello.
Doing a tea cast today?
Yes, very nice. do you have any Earl Grey?
Oh, yes, the fox hunt was going well today. Well, they don't do that anymore. Never mind.
Tuesday, we headed back to Chicago to turn him back over to Phil Clark. But on the way, we stopped off at the Miller Brewery. And that is just a picture of manufacturing precision. Those bottles and cans are just flying through. 1,200 cans a minute. That's like 20 a second. Are just going through this conveyor belt. And this guy is feeding in these 10-foot long segments of can lids. And he's just going. He's feeding in these tubes, literally tubes of lids, nothing but lids, so that they could be stamped onto the filled cans. It's just amazing how fast they're cranking out beer. It really makes you realize this country's got a problem.
Hang on a minute. And how much beer? That got a problem. It's spread out over America. It's not like it's going to five people.
200,000 cases a month. I think it's a month.
Yes, how many people are
no,
in
no,
America?
No. 500,000. This is one of five Miller plants. This is just Miller. Don't count Anheuser-Busch or anything.
Well,
one of five plants in the U.S. produces 500,000 cases. 200,000 of those, 40% of their stuff, goes just to Chicago.
Now, who's got the drinking problem?
Yeah. Al Capone would be smiling in his grave.
Nah. Geraldo would be there to break his bottles.
Then the pièce de résistance was Fermilab in Aurora, down by Chicago, in the afternoon. We basically went into Fermilab with little to no knowledge. But Richard, being the master of interviews, we went in and went, something about particle collisions and smashing atoms, and that's about all we knew. We got the tour guide.
Here, Chuck, stay in this room and hold this. We'll be back in a minute.
We got an awesome tour. Yeah, touch this to your tongue. Stand here with a baseball bat. When it comes out, you hit it.
And Miller and Fermilab actually have a working contract, so they kind of work together to get the bubbles in the beer. Remember that movie Yahoo Serious?
Yep.
Where he's trying to split the beer at him? I'm sorry, go ahead.
Great tour guide. The what is his title? The director of public affairs, I believe it is, Kurt Rieselman. He's originally from Germany. He's been here for 6 years. Wonderful guy. Brought us around, took us on the full tour, at least the important parts. Our time was a bit limited. We got held up at Miller, went a little long, and then we had some traffic issues. Traffic issues in Chicago. I bet you
did get hung up over at Miller.
I was not drinking. And he explained it all very well. They've got a 4 mile circumference or diameter, mm-hmm. I can't remember. 4 mile track that they race around these particles. They basically start with a tank of hydrogen. Real simply. Start with a tank of hydrogen. They separate the protons. They throw out the electrons. I don't know what they do with a stockpile of electrons, but probably walk around and zap each other. Made you flinch. They take the protons, and then they smash those up and make antiprotons by some process that's too complex for me to understand. Once they've got the protons, they package them up, and they start sending them around. They use an electrical charge like a pinball machine. They go, boom, and they start sending them around at 47,000 times a second around this four-mile racetrack. Boom, 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 boom. Then they introduce a package of antiprotons. And when they're kind of like, they're very small, and when they fly through each other, sometimes nothing happens. Sometimes you get a collision with a proton and an antiproton, and they've got this 40-foot, kind of looks like an MRI thing, a donut-shaped thing to detect these collisions. And when they detect the collisions, they dump all this data and they start analyzing and they go, ooh, this is like when the universe was born and start figuring this stuff out. There are practical things coming out of this, like cancer research and whatnot, but a lot of it is just research.
That's what I was going to ask you is what do they use this for, actually?
Right now, they're using it for scientific research. They've been doing this for about 20 years. The facility is about 20, 25 years old. There are others, I think there are four or five others in the country or in the world. Some are smashing together electrons and their antimatter counterpart, positrons, and others are smashing together different types of particles, and you get different reactions to different types of information. They took us into the main control room. Right now, the facility is down for maintenance. They're doing upgrades and flushing the hydrogen system and whatever else it takes, but it's just big. The cool part is you've got this high-tech facility that's very nature-conscious. They've inside of this four-mile track, everything has been restored to the way it was before the Europeans basically came to Illinois. It's, what do they call it, a meadowland. You know, there's some trees, and they've got bison. I'm looking at the picture here. It's an awesome place. Really is cool. When you're standing up on the 15th floor at the top and looking over this flat landscape, and you see just, it looks like a whole county just for this one place, and most of it is really natural looking.
Do they have it set up like the ring, the major ring? Let's say there's a smaller one on the side.
The smaller one on the side is where they it's called the where they start spinning around the antiprotons and they inject them into the big ring.
I see. Well, the ring in the big picture at the top, it looks like water. Is that water?
Yes.
Covering it? It is?
It's not covering it. It's kind of like a canal. They use that partly for cooling. If you look, there's a whole bunch of little white houses that are going around that ring. Mm-hmm. Those are kind of connecting the different points. The ring is actually underground. There's a tunnel that is underground. And they've got superconductor magnets in there to hold the particles.
Yeah, I've seen this on Discovery a long time ago or something.
This is a cool place.
That's what I was saying. And the other places were in Switzerland, Japan, California, and Germany.
The part you might like is, as I was walking by one of their data centers, I took a few pictures, and they've got some really old crap in there. I'm glad really to know our company isn't the only one who's trying to make hardware last forever. Yeah. They had a Spark 20 in there with some external disks attached. They had, I don't know if it was a Sun IPX or something. There were some Dells, and they had some NetBSD. They said they've been upgrading a lot of a lot of their servers to Linux. And the main control room was probably about the size of an average house living room. And it was just plastered with monitors, all flat panel displays. There were probably easy 100, 150 monitors on all the walls. And they're just watching all this stuff. I said, what happens in here when it's actually running? And they say, well, we're monitoring the collisions and detecting this. And it's a really cool place. It was very impressive. But young kids
that's
there. That's cool. The guy who was on the second shift when we got there, monitoring the main control room, has only been there 6 years. He's got a physics major from University of something, Illinois. I apologize if he's listening to this. But just a really cool place. Really cool place to be. Now, you also met up with somebody this week.
Yes. Actually, last night I met up with Bruce Barr, finally. He came to Charlotte.
Juice Barr?
This time I caught him.
Juice Barr?
Actually, I caught up with him before he left. Unlike last time, remember that?
Yeah, we missed him.
Last time, we were playing our voicemail. Hey, I just left Charlotte. And I was like, why didn't you call? Anyway, this time he did ahead of time. And we went out last night to a little Irish pub downtown. He does training and whatnot. And so he had gotten there late and... Yeah, I think he had a flat tire before he got to his plane and missed it by 2 minutes, I think he said. But he got there a little late. Anyway, they had dead training. We ended up going out late. We had some Guinness and, ate shepherd's pie and hung out and talked for several hours. He was an awesome guy, and I really did have a good time. It was really good meeting him. And we were just talking about old computers and everything from he was talking about a computer that had three processors that – you could switch between them. It was like a Z80 and a, what was the other one? It was, a 6502 and something else. Anyway, he was talking about that, and we got onto all the computers that we wanted or had or heard about, and it was a lot of fun.
Speaking of the 6502, I don't know if you remember on Technorama when the professor creates the F-ray, looked like that flashlight that could see through stuff when they were looking for the Slurm prize.
Yeah, I know.
Bender's got a 6502 in his head.
Yeah, he's like, and it said 6502.
Right in his head. Yeah, that was pretty funny. That's what I was thinking
you
of.
You know, I got that same thing. I wonder how many other people got that, too. I'm sure it's a lot.
Not a whole lot.
I don't know.
I like that. There's a new network of podcasters. FIT, the Friends in Tech. Sounds like they got something cool going on there.
A long time ago, in an IRC channel far, far away. Young Padawan, we have reviewed your training, and the council has come to a decision. Your security skills are impressive, but you will not be a Jedi yet.
But Masters, I know I'm ready!
It is true. Your Metasploitorian count is high, and you possess compilation skills like no other. And your mastery of the security concepts are clear. But, young Padawan, you find your lack of focus disturbing.
Oh, popcorn!
Our decision is final. You will continue your training with the Masters.
Yes, Masters.
Young Padawan, don't forget. Lack of focus leads to sloppiness. Sloppiness leads to misconfiguration. And misconfiguration leads to compromise.
Yes, Masters. I will heed your words well.
Paul.com Security Weekly, providing security Jedi education since 2005.
Airing his thoughts online since 1985, you're listening to Chuck DeMasi.
Yes, I am very angry. I saw this article about a group that blasts Massachusetts for their open source policy. Their open source policy stating that, I think early January 2007, they're supposed to have all their documents in an open document format. Well, this group is saying that there's blasting Massachusetts for their open source thing policy, stating that they're pushing out proprietary systems.
Mm-hmm.
I say, what in the crap are they thinking? Who wants to be locked into any vending lock-in? Who wants that? Raise your hands. That's what I thought.
I don't see any. No.
Yeah, it's a choice. And it's not, you know, not everybody can buy Microsoft Office, or should they, to be able to do business with Massachusetts or anybody to open these documents. Now, I know that you can open these documents with open Office, but what I'm saying is it could be any program, really. Why would I have to purchase a specific program to work with these documents properly? I don't think you should. Remember some of the old database formats? Mm-hmm. Like, maybe not exactly DBase, but some of the old proprietary database formats that mm-hmm. you had to get send off to get it converted by somebody. It's your stinking data. Why would you be locked in there? So I don't see a problem with Massachusetts wanting to do open document format. And there's already a plugin from the ODF people that will allow Microsoft Office to read and write these open document formats anyway. So I don't see the big deal. And I think these people obviously have a vested interest in, you know, sticking with Microsoft. So they can stick with it. I don't care.
Some people just like to stick with Microsoft because it's there. They think everybody's got it. And
yeah, but see, but it's not. I'm not saying Microsoft. Right. I'm saying why not? I mean, why should I save it in a doc format? Now, I'm not saying Microsoft's going to fold up and go home. But what if they did? What if Office for some reason wasn't available later on? And, you know, I'm just saying hypothetically, and for some reason you couldn't read these formats anymore. But thanks to things like OpenOffice and the ODF initiative, you know, ODF now is an ISO standard. So I don't see what the problem is storing my data in an open format you can read anywhere. Why not? Enough said.
It's time to play Try a Geek.
Try a Geek is a game we're playing on Technorama to test your geek prowess. We'll give out three geek words from tech, science, literature, and media that have some association. If you think you know what the association is, send your answer in an email to game@chuckchat.com. Points are awarded based on the difficulty of the clue, 1 to 3 points. You only get one guess per game, so make it a good one. We'll keep track of the scores in the wiki at chuckchat.com/wiki. Good luck, and here are your clues. Tonight's clues are finger, who, and biff.
Sounds like allegations of a
don't be making
assault.
Your guesses. And if you're listening in the chat room on the stream, you know, don't shout them out there. Remember, there are other people. You want those points. This is a friendly competition. Scores will be kept in the wiki. We have a whole bunch of things in the geek library. We've got, we're running a little long this time, so we're just going to quickly spin over these.
I'm going to talk about it real quick.
All right.
They got space colony artwork from NASA, which I thought these were really cool. Actually, you could use some of them for wallpaper. But
these are
like
pretty
the 70s.
Cool. Yeah, they look very Art Deco-ish.
Yeah, it's like, here's a concept of a Dyson sphere or whatever, or a ring that we can live in, you know, that kind of thing. They're pretty cool. I like looking at those. We have, I found this, I hope I'm not messing up her name right.
I would say Dylan Mekonis or
Mekonis. I think that's right. She drew some sketches. She's a cartoonist, and you can see some of her work on the website, and we'll have a link to that. She drew the Battlestar Galactica cast as Simpson characters, and anyway, we'll put some of those as album art through the next several shows, but you can go see all the pictures right
there. Did she get permission from Ronald D. Moore and Matt Groening?
It doesn't matter. Sketches, man.
These are more than sketches. They look like finished art.
No, they look great. No, I mean, they're her work. You know, it doesn't matter. Anyway, and I had to put a picture up of the Falcon Cam, which is the Falcon, or a picture. I had to put up a link to the webcam. It's a Falcon Cam. It's for the last 13 years, a pair of migrating
Peregrine Falcons.
Yes, Peregrine Falcons. I started to say something wrong. Anyway, you can see their nest up there, and they keep coming back to the same spot.
It's pretty neat. I tuned in before the sun went down, and there was one sitting in there. I don't know if it was on a nest, sitting on an egg. They said they should be laying eggs in April and possibly hatching in early May. So that's going to be a neat one to keep an eye on. I like things like that. That and the manatees in Florida. They're fun to watch.
Oh, I haven't seen that one. Put a link to that one in there.
I will try
and the newspaper, this is from Douglas E. Welch, the newspaper generator. If you go over there, much like the the church sign one we had a long time ago, where you type in whatever you want, and you know, and you can make it looks like it came out of the newspaper. And I'm going to read you one of the ones I made. Let's see. Let me pull it up real quick.
Was that the Friends in Tech one?
Yes. Did you read that?
Friends in Tech. What do they solve? World hunger.
Yeah. Hold on. I was trying to find it real quick.
That's all right.
That's all right. Anyway, we had a 3-year podcast-a-thon. It was the longest on record, and we were trying to solve world hunger, and we made enough money to buy the world cheeseburgers.
I like that. Go. You know, that might be a funny one to have people write their stories, and we can put links to them in the wiki or something.
I was going to suggest. Maybe we could do that. The quote after doing podcasting for 3 years is from Kevin Devon, and his quote was, "Hey, after 3 years, I got nothing else to say."
Hi, this is Tom Dutchick from Immersion Presents. You're listening to Chuck and Craig on Technorama.
Technorama presents Stuff You Don't See on Star Trek. The warp engines start playing up a bit, but seem to sort themselves out after a while without any intervention from the boy genius, Wesley Crusher. Technorama reminds you to geek responsibly by visiting chuckchat.com.
Honestly, it came back online all by itself.
Yeah.
We have, once again, many, many more contributions from Mad Marv and his online storehouse of terrific Technorama links, the Power Tool drag races that are over on Make Magazine site, the Billion Dollar Pen myth. I remember we had a Geek Thoughts one time about...
I know, and I knew it was a myth. I thought it was funny. I knew it was a myth then. It was just funny. Come on.
And many other ones. DIY RFID deadbolt. Whoa, there's a double hit of the drinking game.
I claim artistic license on that other one, by the way.
What, DIY RFID?
No,
the Billion Dollar Pen myth. And the Gallery of Dinosaur Electronic Products. That one just begs to be looked at. Check them out in the show notes, and you will be more in the Technorama zone than you were yesterday. I don't know.
Technorama zone.
That's about it for the show. Craig, I want you to do the ending credits. We forgot to do them in a strange voice last time, so this time you're going to have to pay double. You get to do them in the style of... Oh, we'll make it easy on you this time. Dr. Evil, and I will be number two.
Okay. Welcome to my Technorama lair. This is how you will contact us. Call the listener line at 206-222-CHAT. That's 2428. You can email Chuck. That's number 2@chuckchat.com. No. Wait. Wrong.
Sir. Chuck,
yes, sir.
Is number what? 1.
So be it. Or you can email Chuck at chuck@chuckchat.com. Or you can send the audio comments to chuckchat@gmail.com. And you can email my favorite, Craig, at Craig@chuckchat.com.
Sir.
Yes, number 2.
Craig does not have a laser.
Where's the frickin' sharks?
The sharks were on back order from eBay.
Damn.
I suggest you tell them about the website.
Visit chuckchat.com for forum, swag, email, mailing list, and links to show notes and more.
This show is a member of Friends in Tech. If you want to find out more, such as the forums, they're at forums.friendsintech.com. The audio streaming was also provided by Scott Reynolds. And the chat room, that's by freenode.net. We suggest, if you're getting the show by clicking on the website, that you subscribe. That way you get it automatically delivered to you for free. If you don't know how,
enough, number 2, just so your website and subscribe there.
I suggest you give him a binary high five.
101.
thank you for listening. And we'll have Dr. Evil taken care of soon enough.
Yes. Wait. Number two, don't let me forget to have you neutered.
Sir, the spacecraft permit prevents anyone from getting up here and taking care of that procedure.
I see.
The doctor in your title was only honorary.
Greetings, this is Science Officer Spock, and currently there are no life forms available to take your call. But at the prearranged audio signal, please feel free to leave any verbal communication you feel is necessary. Live long and prosper.